Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.
How's the hardest working man in the Maine outdoors doing this morning?
Oh, I'm a little pooped out like everybody else. We're hardworking people up here in Maine, and yeah, it wears you down after a while.
You're not too pooped to talk good policy and the importance of making good decisions when it comes to elections. David Trahan of the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine. I mentioned a moment ago, the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine had, well, you didn't wait till post-primary. You took a look at who was going to be running for the United States Senate, and you endorsed Senator Collins. Then came the Graham Plattner implosion. Now, Troy Jackson is stepping up. Now, we know he has some past with Sam, and I'm wondering, has anything changed?
Oh, yes. A lot has changed. I wanted to give you a little history about Troy. I'm also a logger. I'm not really 100% sure that Troy is a logger. Maybe he has been in the past, but I'm not sure he has been in the recent past. Anyway, that being said, for years, Troy Jackson came from the St. John Valley, a very a Roman Catholic religious community, close-knit. He was a conservative Republican when I first met him. His claim to fame, how he got into politics, was he led a border blockade of Canadian workers who were legally permitted to come into the state and work on forest lands, and he led a week-long blockade. That was the first time I got to know Troy. He eventually got elected, came to the legislature, was a conservative Republican and pro-life, pro-outdoors, pro-Second Amendment. Well, he received the endorsement of the NRA, Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, and later Gun Owners of Maine, I believe, graded him very well. He then changed to an independent, connected with John Martin, Earl of Eagle Lake, a very powerful man with a checkered past, and became a Democrat. And so even when he became a Democrat, he was still pro-Second Amendment, pro-outdoors, had talked to me many times about his community and his concerns around cutting off deer yards, labor issues. And then everything changed in the early 2020, 21, around that time when he decided he was going to run for governor when he was termed out. He went from a St. John Valley blue dog Democrat to a Portland liberal progressive Democrat. And over that time, why I say that, he went from pro-life to pro-abortion. He went, and by the way, he was stopping immigration through his blockade. He wanted to stop Canadian workers from coming over. Now he's pro-immigration, George Soros-type immigration. And what really twisted us, though, is back in 2021, we had negotiated a $40 million appropriations from the general fund to replenish the Land for Maine's Future program. We did that with the governor, Republicans and Democrats, and it received a two-thirds in a budget. Part of that deal was a new program through LMF to protect deer yards in the very community that he had been begging for help. And at the very last minute after the budget passed, Troy was part of an effort to kill that bill. It was LD 404. It was sponsored by a Republican, Chris Johansson from Monticello, and the reason that they tried to kill it was that it wasn't sponsored by a Democrat. I know that because after I did a huge push with my membership to reverse Troy's and others' actions to try to kill the bill, I had been summoned to the president's office, President Jackson's, to be browbeaten by the appropriations chair, Senator Breen. Now, keep in mind, this LD 404 came out of committee unanimous, and it was to invest in buying and conserving deer yards. The very thing that he had begged for years, that people from his community were begging for, he worked to defeat. He then went on to switch his positions on guns. I sent you because I know he denied it with me, and then I got proof of it. In order to pair votes to get the 72-hour waiting period passed, I knew the Senate rules, and I knew that the President, Troy Jackson, had to sign off in writing that he was okay with pairing votes. He initially denied it. I went to the Senate Secretary and demanded the documents. I got them, and I sent them to you as proof that he helped orchestrate the pairing of votes that passed the 72-hour waiting period law.
I'm glad you brought that up. Senator Rennie, Senator Baldacci, and allegedly surrendering their option. But there were claims even that night of that we had heard that Jackson had orchestrated that, and I have heard the denials since.
Yes, that's correct. I sent you the proof that he had to sign off on that, and he was part of arranging it. And that you don't get to do that to the Sportsmen's Alliance of Maine. If you tell us one thing and then you turn on us, we're going to go from a nice organization to one that remembers what you did. We remember that Troy Jackson wrote a column in favor of the red flag referendum. We also know what he did on the 72-hour waiting period. We also, there's one more thing that your listeners are not going to hear during this campaign that I want to bring up. The Troy Jackson you see now, who's progressive and he's out there championing the Democratic Socialist of America agenda, which, by the way, just endorsed him. Part of their platform is to end the Department of Defense. This is why that's important. When you take the endorsement of an organization, you're, in a sense, supporting their agenda. When you see Troy, he's wearing a shirt, and on it says IAMAW. That's the union representing Bath Iron Works. If the DSA gets their way, if they gain power, which it looks like they're gaining momentum, and get into power, they want to end the Department of Defense. That's the end of Bath Iron Works, and that's the end of Portsmouth Naval Shipyard.
I hadn't thought about that.
Nobody's thinking about that.
We discussed what the DSA is openly claiming as their priorities, their platform on their website. We did that last week, and talked of that, but hadn't made the equation or hadn't made the link that you draw for us of how important labor is to Troy Jackson in order to try to win, how labor is working Bath Iron Works, and he wants or needs that support. I'm guessing from hearing all of this that as the Sportsmen's Alliance of Maine takes a moment to reevaluate its endorsement now approaching November for the U.S. Senate race, I'm guessing it's still Senator Collins.
Absolutely. Now it's even more important. The people, I have friends that work at Bath Iron Works, very close friends. I represented Lincoln County as a senator, where the very foundation of the working class is Bath Iron Works. Portsmouth Naval Shipyard also has a big worker base in the state of Maine. Unless Troy Jackson, and I'm hoping Steve Robinson picks up on this quote, unless Troy Jackson does a full-throated rejection of the DSA agenda and the DSA endorsement, then he is nothing more than allowing the DSA to get stronger and eventually, potentially, eliminate those jobs that he says he wants to protect.
That's strong talk right there, David.
It is. It's strong talk. That's coming from David Trahan, not the SAM director. I represented these people. They're my friends. You can't have it both ways, Troy. You can't get the support of the ultra-left DSA and their workers and their money because you're promoting their agenda, and their agenda is to undermine the Department of Defense. They've already said they want to cut our bases overseas. They want to end the Department of Defense. That's a direct threat to the jobs at Bath Iron Works. So I want to hear it, Troy. I want you to say absolutely not, that you would not support this DSA agenda to end the Department of Defense. And until he does that, I think that the people at Bath Iron Works should be looking at him with a hairy eyeball.
I don't know if Bernie Sanders standing beside Troy, who might possibly funnel national money into his campaign, which he needs because he's, what, north of $2 million, but Senator Collins is already north of $11 million. I don't know if he can afford to say that, David.
Well, he has to, because those jobs are too important to the state of Maine. And who is it that's been delivering for Bath Iron Works year after year, Senator Collins has been delivering funding for new ships and for that, for the ironworks. And in Troy, I'm sorry, you can't deny that. That is the truth. She is the most powerful senator out there. She chairs the Appropriations Committee. They flow the money into the states. What happens if we lose that powerful position? Do you think Troy Jackson, as a freshman going in, is going to have the power to make sure that Bath Ironworks is held whole and they continue to get that funding? The answer to that is absolutely no. And so for me, it goes way beyond the outdoor stuff. Yes, he turned on us, and he did things that were the opposite of what he told us. He rode our endorsement into election after election. You know, that smarts with us, and we won't forget it. But this other stuff matters, too. And these softballs that the press have been giving him on immigration and other issues like this one, it's not fair to the Maine voter. They need to know the consequences of a DSA agenda and his alignment with Graham Plattner.
David, in our final moments, and I'll let you check your phone. Maybe that's Troy texting you right now.
I'm getting some text.
That always seems that you're a rabble rouser. You rouse rabbles when you're here on our program. David Trahan, Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, here on Maine's Morning News. Final moments, if we could. And I know we need more time to dig into this.
Yeah.
But you also frequently send me information concerning the number of yellow flag instances and red flag instances in our state.
Yes.
Last time we talked about this, red flag only executed 3 times.
Yeah, it's actually 5.
Now we're up to 5.
Yep. Okay. Well, it's worse than what you and I have said. Only one person has used a red flag. It has been used 4 times by police officers. In that same time period, the yellow flag law has been used 300 times. And the reason that the red flag law is an utter failure, I said it on your radio program, it would be an utter failure. It's a bad policy. It is so poorly written that even domestic violence groups are discouraging people from using it. There's several flaws in the law, and I spoke with the Department of Public Safety and the state police to confirm it. When they wrote the law, they failed to recognize that it's illegal in the state of Maine for a police officer to act like a lawyer. There's a law, and I sent you the law, Rick,
yep,
that says you have to be a bar-licensed lawyer, a police officer included, to go into court and take somebody's rights away. And the courts have pushed back. That law, I've already been told, needs a complete reform, just like we said it would. I believe what will happen next is the Gun Safety Coalition will introduce a bill to comprehensively change that law, including mandates, much like New York, for organizations to conduct red flag. See, they couldn't get the police and others to use it in places like New York because it was flawed policy. So what did they do? They mandated that certain groups do it to get the numbers up. And I think that's what they're going to do here. Interesting.
See, I want to write this down. There's a prediction that I want to see. Oh, we're going to watch for this.
Oh, yes. They're going to force this down our throat, whether we like it or not. Instead of approaching us and saying, how can we fix this law in a cooperative way and save lives, they're going to shove this down our throat, just like they did the referendum.
Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at laughlinwolfingtonrealty.com.